What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What is the presentation of Jesus? Hello, I'm George Samietz, pastor of the ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, serving congregations in Brandon, Suffolk, and Coventry in the Midlands, and also teaching part-time at Westfield House, Cambridge. More information about these places and all ELCE congregations, plus a diary of ELCE events, can be found on the ELCE website, lutheran.co.uk. I hope you enjoy the program. What is the presentation of Jesus? This occurs on the 2nd of February and is the Christian observance or festival marking the close of the Christmas cycle, coming 40 days after Christmas, and commemorates the presentation of Jesus in the temple by his parents. This was done in recognition of the Mosaic law's requirement that mothers should go to Jerusalem and offer sacrifice 40 days after the birth of their children. This Christian festival, sometimes called the Presentation of Our Lord, was observed in Jerusalem at the end of the 4th century, and Justinian introduced it in Constantinople in the 6th century. In the Eastern Church, its earliest name was Meeting of Jesus and Simeon, and or God with humanity. Over the centuries, various themes or emphases were taken up by the Church around the presentation of Jesus. One of them was Candlemas, where all the candles that would be used in the coming year would be blessed. What we have, I suppose, is a practical enactment, a reminder of the Epiphany emphasis that Jesus is a light to enlighten the Gentiles, as foretold by Simeon in the temple, and was observed at the festival of the Epiphany with the arrival of the Magi and the star, about which I spoke in an earlier straight answer, and you can check it out in the podcasts available. Another theme or emphasis that developed when the focus is more on Mary is the purification of Mary, in which she is held up by the Roman Catholic Church as an example of humility and obedience, for, not needing purification herself, she still sought to fulfill what God had established in the covenant, and so attended the temple to do as was required. This sort of thinking and observance is unnecessary for Lutherans, who see it as a moving the focus away from Jesus. There is a time to remember and learn from Mary, and that is the Annunciation, where we observe Mary's response to the angel Gabriel's announcement of God's sending of his Son to be born of her. Presentation of Jesus is a festival about Jesus, for the adults we meet reveal to us more and more about this baby, who he is, and what he will do. So Luke records in chapter 2, and it is the gospel for the festival. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God, and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favour of God was upon him. Babies born at Christmas are still around. That's the way of things with babies. There's excitement over the news of the pregnancy. There's great attention at the birth. But shortly afterwards, except for parents and family, the world moves on and pays periodic notice only at birthdays or other special events. However, reality with babies is a 24-hour-a-day reality, a feeding, nursing, holding, cleaning reality, a washing, worrying, weaning reality. If the world knows the Christmas story, it knows Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. Going to Bethlehem, no room in the inn, baby born, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, angels and shepherds, going and seeing, going back and rejoicing. But there's more to Luke chapter 2, some of which you just heard. Simeon's encounter is the more controversial of the two. He is at the temple at the specific urging of the Holy Spirit, and it is he who takes hold of Jesus rather than Mary and Joseph seeking Simeon out. We assume Simeon is old because his vigil of waiting for the Messiah is now at an end, and he is now ready to depart in peace, presumably meaning to die and go to the Lord. He doesn't need to see this little one grown up and be God's salvation and the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for Israel. Seeing Jesus in his arms, trusting God's word, is enough. What he does do is give an explanation to Mary and Joseph, a sort of stage direction, a narrator's commentary. And here is the controversy, for he doesn't say that Jesus will win the Nobel Peace Prize, or find the cure for cancer, or create a world order which will bring about peace and prosperity for a millennia or two, but says rather that Jesus will be controversial, causing the falling and rising of many in Israel, and he will be spoken against. He will not reveal just deeds but thoughts and expose them. And then directly to Mary he tells her that a sword will pierce her soul too. This is not the fairy godmother saying, and he will live happily ever after. This child seems to be about hardship, suffering, pain, maybe even death. This is the story of Christmas that the world doesn't want to hear. None of us do, really. Who wants to put babies and suffering in the same sentence, let alone the same situation? None of us. And yet this is what Christmas remains about. There were enough hints that Jesus' birth was not a run-of-the-mill ordinary one, for God was acting in a decisive way, entering his world. Not to play tourist or a cop on the beat, but to rescue and save people, Jews and Gentiles, to be light in the darkness, to be life in the face of death. We don't know the details of what Anna said, but Luke summarizes her words with the descriptions giving thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption is about buying back. And perhaps Anna and her listeners figured that Jesus would make some deal with the Romans to restore Jerusalem and Israel. I think it is unlikely that they thought along the lines of Luther, who described the redemption achieved by Jesus as one not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. But for now the child is still a child, growing up, becoming wise in the ways of the Lord, and God's grace was upon him. In time his followers would say that he is God's grace and truth. But for now, even now, we can give thanks to God. Simeon and Anna weren't wishful thinkers or doting grandparent types or delusional, but were messengers to Mary and Joseph, to those who would listen back then and to us today. They relied on God's word to them and did not see how Jesus turned out. And yet the word given to them and the word of God given to others provides the lens to see what the world misses. Mary and Joseph seem like any other new parents. Jesus is just another Jewish child in the temple. Later he's a teacher, a miracle worker. Later still, he's just one of the countless throughout history who was crucified. But the words about Jesus from both Simeon and Anna, and including what Jesus himself said, bear witness to the truth that God has rescued and saved his people through Jesus. Our sin is controversial, and Christmas is about dealing with human sin, and the rescue comes in the shape of a baby. Jesus is born to die, not as an unfortunate end result of life. He is born to die, to be a sacrifice, so that you and I will not suffer for our sins and evil in fear and loneliness. Our controversial sin requires a controversial rescue. And that was and is the message of Christmas on this day, which closes the Christmas cycle. And of Easter, still to come. God's rescue of people is still happening as people meet and encounter Jesus through his word, whether spoken or made visible with water, bread and wine. Christians say Simeon's words as one of the responses to meeting Jesus in Holy Communion. And where Simeon held a baby, Christians have held bread and wine. And yet we both have seen the salvation God has worked among us. And praise God for Jesus Christ, for he has entered our 24-hour-a-day reality and gives us peace. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.